Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, you all crazy real nerd fans. I am Ryan, and every week I see a new movie and podcast my experience to the world. But I don't do it alone. I do it with my buddy, Brad.
What's up?
This week is actually pretty cool. Our movie of the week is Inheritance, but the reason we're seeing that is our friend Kirsty is in the movie, and she has a big part in the movie. So stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil it. We'll also talk about the big movie news of the week and things we watch throughout the week. We're just a movie podcast. It's what we do. This is our 13th year, 14th year. So,
yeah, you know. We're coming up on episode 300 by the end of it.
Yeah. So,
or what did I say? 700?
Yeah.
Yeah, later this year, 700 straight weeks of talking about movies.
Yeah, it's been fun, and it's still going strong. Well, with you and I.
strong is a bit hyperbolic. it's not in its heyday, like, you know, but we're dedicated, and we like
it. It's going strong, okay?
We've had higher highs, I think, than lately. But that's like, man, last year, we didn't really talk about like how much last year we were just like completely thrown off our game. Like,
yeah, well, it sucked too because, you know, I'll talk about it when we get to movie news about the movies and, you know, the Academy Awards. Because you're hearing this is our first episode after Filmsplosion.
Our second,
I'm sorry, Mufasa.
Third, because after Mufasa was Wolfman.
Oh, that's right. Gosh. You know, it just took so long for our website to get updated with all our new episodes.
Still being updated.
Yeah, it looks really nice, though, Brad. Great job. But yeah, you know, I was looking at the nominees, and I just was reminded of, like, man, 2024, there was some good movies, but, you know, I said it in Filmsplosion, I don't know how many I loved, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a new year, new movies. So it should be fun.
Yeah, I just
and
hope.
I forget. Yeah, it has been 2 weeks because this is the end of January, beginning of February.
Yep. I just hope that I get back to a regular posting schedule. Like, that's, you know, like, I don't know, if like 5 weeks ago, I was like 5 weeks behind, and that's just embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, now that everything's starting to fall in place, well, we're back, baby.
Yeah. We're gonna do these in person, hopefully, so they sound awesome, and then we'll get them regular, and then do everything we can to make an awesome fan expo for a lad back.
I know we've already, you know, Travis Hemel, who is an artist, sat in our show last year, and he hopes that we're gonna be back too. And I think people are gonna be really blown away by our booth this year again because it's gonna be cool.
I hope so. We just emptied the Real Nerds funds to renew the website. So
I don't, we got it.
If we can recover those funds, I doubt it, but we'll try.
We got it.
I'm thinking of deleting the plans for the moving water that we had. It's a kind of a high budget item.
Well, just one step at a time, Brad. That's all we can do.
So, yeah, I guess we should talk about Inheritance and stop meandering.
Yeah, Brad, you recommend Inheritance starring Kirstie Bryan?
I recommend people watch Kirstie Bryan in this movie. It's an interesting movie. I wouldn't say I loved it. There's a lot of shots of just the one girl throughout the movie. It's very experimental and different for sure. She also noticed also like the second Kirstie movie we've done in the lifetime of the show, because I think we also did Hustlers, right?
Correct.
But she had a much smaller part, I think, in that. But yeah, cool to see. But yeah, overall, I wouldn't say I was like blown away by the movie.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I kind of get, you get in awe of someone like Kirstie, who got her start in, was it Slave Pikachu?
No. Bonsai Beer Cat.
Bonsai Beer Cat. You have the claim to fame.
I launched her career, sure.
He really did. The thing I will say is I'm in the kind of same boat with you, is it's a better movie than I was expecting. Luckily the lead female was very pretty, because I couldn't tell you how many, like, was the director against doing wide shots? You know what I mean?
Well, I think we'll talk about it after the trailer, but I have the like explanation for that.
Cool. So yeah, here's a trailer for Inheritance.
It's written all over you.
What?
You're an
artist.
No, you're in a band.
Maybe.
No, no, you're not. You're a spy.
You've had a brutal year. You've just lost your mother. Let me be your father.
I thought you were trying to get control of your life.
I'll do anything to get out of this place.
I built something here, and I want you and I to run it together.
Doing what?
Gathering information.
Like a spy.
It's a big word.
Maya, leave now. Go.
Where are you? What is going on? Where's my dad?
Something happened to him.
This is Interpol. You're in possession of stolen U.S. government property.
If you go to the police, he's dead. If you don't bring it to us, you are dead.
Do not go to India.
I'll do it.
You can't get to South Korea.
Watch me.
You're willing to take risks to get things done. You know what you want, and you know how to get it.
I've been looking for you.
He'll kill me if he finds me.
Go, go, go!
Who are you spying on?
I'll never tell.
Inheritance is a film about two sisters, and one of the sisters, their mother dies after a long battle with some disease. The one sister who took care of her is kind of lost, and their estranged father comes back into their life and offers her this chance to go with him on a trip to Egypt to help him with real estate. And while she's there, it turns out that he is involved in, I don't know, arms deals or real estate with really bad people. And then it becomes kind of like a Jason Bourne light, where she goes all around exotic places to help her dad clear his name. Or she thinks he's kidnapped and is trying to clear his name. That's the basic gist of the movie.
Yeah, and like you said, most of the movie is like the camera's really focused on her face. like so much. And I feel like the style of it, where you know, we should also note that it's all shot on an iPhone.
Was it really?
Yeah, which supports the thing where I was about to say, if you notice the locations they filmed in are like mm-hmm. airports or like train areas, out in public. And I think like given the budget, you know, mm-hmm. doing that meant they didn't have to like set up lights or get permits for things. So it was like real run and gun guerrilla style movie on an iPhone. Okay. So I think that's why, you know, they just really just like, let's focus on her because we don't have permission to like get this sign or these people and all that. So I feel like if you talk to a lot of people in the background, they probably didn't know that like a movie was being shot.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. You know, it's just, there was a lot of the camera just following her even when it wasn't in those scenes, it seemed like it was really hyper-focused on close-ups.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, but like I said, at least she's pretty. And, you know, you didn't have to look at, you know, me that close for 2 hours.
So, yeah, but yeah, it also made it, like, really repetitive, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then there's a bunch of places where, and it's been a while since I saw the movie, so there's just like some bad dialogue and like logic jumps that I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, there is a part of me though that, you know, respects, you know, kind of a lower budget. But I mean, that one scene where she was on the taxi, the motorcycle taxi through Delhi, I thought that scene was really well shot and really cool, and it kept the tension up. But those scenes were so far in between, but there's enough of them to keep me interested throughout the whole film, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like just when it starts to like dip, it like does scenes like that. But also like those are few far in between, because I think that's what they spent the budget on, because they probably closed off those streets to do some of those stunts safely. And then yeah, there's just like not a lot left to do anything elsewhere, you know?
Yeah, and because I thought all the actors were pretty good in it too. But, you know, some of the dialogue, you're right, is a little convenient. Some of the editing, there's a scene where she's on the phone with her sister, and you can tell that the dialogue is looped in, because there's this weird... The other person on the other side of the phone sounds way too clear, and they didn't do a good job of matching up the "I'm done talking, now it's somebody else's turn talking" at a couple points in the movie.
Yeah,
she also did it with her dad when she was walking from the restaurant and leaving. Yeah, but I mean, it's still pretty cool. I also, like, man, the security for her getting into countries isn't very good, because she really didn't look like the girl she stole the passport from.
Yeah, that was a stretch. Also, when she had the hard drive in her room, like, that was telegraphed that, like, I knew she was going to throw a fake one away and keep the real one.
Yeah, it sucks, too, when you know, like, I knew her dad too was behind everything, and so I really wasn't, the story part of it wasn't that interesting to me. But like I said, you know, the chase with the taxi, and every time she went to a new location, I thought it was interesting, because she even has that one kind of conversation with that dude at the restaurant, and you know, she gets creeped out by it. And I thought that was really well done. I mean, there's moments in the movie. It's better than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah. It's also really nice to see, like, real locations.
Oh, yeah. It like was that, so awesome.
Like, that one part where she's, like, walking up the stairs, like, that lantern overhang, I guess. That lantern ceiling. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, so gorgeous to look at. And then
I agree.
You know, often Egypt is portrayed as being, like, the pyramids and the Sphinx, and then like desert, And then like actually seeing the real like modern city around it is refreshing.
You know, I thought that too when I was watching it. I go, man, they really, the parts that they did open up, you know, I didn't, when they're showing the hotels and stuff, I said, man, this is a really nice city.
Yeah. Oh yeah. In Korea,
why they don't show it more.
Like Korea has this like block, you know, project style buildings, but they all have like sophisticated futuristic locks and stuff. And
yeah,
like, damn.
Yeah, it was just, and so those parts were cool, and yeah, I think I just, you know, you want a little more on the story, but I mean, we didn't get it, and but you know, it's still fun. I even thought the last scene with her dad, when they're on the bridge, I thought was really well done.
Yeah, when she hits her, it's like, oh. Like,
yeah, yeah, and he kind of just walks away, and it leaves a, you know, you do have that what happened to him, and when Kirsty shows up at the end and says, hey, this came to my my house, I go, oh, that's the hard drive for real.
Yeah,
because I was wondering why they kept focusing on her stealing stuff. It wasn't just some sort of, you know, character quirk. It was more of, hey, she knows how to steal things.
Yeah. Although when they cut the credits and they come back to her like loading the account with stuff, I was like, okay, you're just like, in case you didn't get it, she got the money. You're just like, yeah. I didn't need that. I got it.
And you would think too, I mean, this is just me being, you know, wouldn't they put a freeze on the account anyways? I mean, they should, yeah, be able to probably access it. But you know. What do we know? But hats off to Kirsty. She was great in the movie.
Yeah.
In the theater I saw it in, she had a line at the funeral and the theater laughed. So I was very proud of her.
Oh, nice. You had more than one other person eating their outside food. I was so...
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I was so frustrated because, like, all Kirsty scenes, like, this dude brought in, I think, like, a Subway sub, and you could hear that paper wrapper the whole time. Oh. It's like, I'm trying to watch my friend.
Yeah, it was actually kind of interesting. I saw it at, like, 1 in the afternoon on Tuesday at River Point. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, when I bought my ticket, I think there was one other ticket that I was bought. I was like, okay, so, I mean, it's midday on a Tuesday. On a low budget independent film, I didn't expect that many people, but when I went in there, I ended up being like 4 or 5 people in there. So one time I did not want the theater to myself.
Yeah. No, I've had a bad run lately. Like I go to like the latest things, and when I buy the ticket, there's no one else in there, but as soon as that movie starts, some other person walks in and ugh, they're just like not respectful of other people.
It's always such a bummer.
Yeah,
but what are you gonna do, right?
Like, how fucking late do I have to go to a show to get like just by myself? It's a freaking, yeah, Wednesday. Go to work tomorrow. anyways
so yeah, make sure you see that movie anyways, because our friend Kirsty's in it.
Yeah,
and she's really cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be in streaming soon. And that's a great way to watch this, I think.
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, you don't need it to watch it on a big screen. But I also want my friend Kirsty to, you know, be in a popular movie. So you should go see it on a big screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, this is a big movie news of the week.
It's real news.
Well, the big news is the Oscars got announced. Have you even heard of this Emilia Perez movie, Brad?
Yeah, I think it was The Mayan for a week, and then
really,
that was it.
I have never heard of it, and it led with like 13 nominations.
Yeah, it's some weird choices, but that's how, don't we talk about this every year of like, they didn't pick the stuff we liked.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the stuff I like. It just seems... So I'll run down the best pictures. It's Emilia Perez, A Complete Unknown, which I'm not really shocked that one got nominated. That's the kind of stuff that yeah, always gets nominated. Yeah. Conclave.
Not shocked.
No, the Nickel Boys, which I'm trying to see, but there's only one showing every day at the Alamo, so that kind of is a bummer.
I saw it.
Oh. Well, I guess we'll talk about it later. I'm Still Here. The Substance. Dune Part 2. Wicked. Anora. And The Brutalist.
I've seen most of those.
Yeah. Where do you think the movie-going Academy members will lean? It seems like Conclave is kind of the one that seems the most likely. It's the one people are talking about. Because that Emilia Perez is having a really bad press right now.
Part of me is like, well, it did get nominated a bunch of times, so clearly Academy, like a bunch of the Academy must love it for some reason. But I think if you're like, classic expectations point me towards Conclave, just the way, you know, I wasn't blown away when I watched it, but just the buzz around it, it feels like that's where they're leaning.
Yeah, because I remember when, I saw I haven't seen it yet. I saw the trailer. I go, that looks, very actory kind of movie where really great actors get really good dialogue and they just act. And it seems like the kind of movie that would win an Academy Award.
Yeah. I also think because Emilia Perez is a musical, like the Academy just loves musicals a lot. So, it's Wicked's also up there. So,
yeah, it could be one of those years where so many people's votes are split. That who knows what's going to win,
Yeah.
Because, the Oscars, the way they pick it is really weird. And I always try to explain it to people, and it's a hard thing to explain, I think.
It's also a dumb thing to care about, I think. Like, it's just like, you're not involved, so why have any skin in the game? Like,
I think people just like to celebrate stuff. I know it's just an award show, but.
No, but like a lot of people feel like this is like real validation.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah. No,
they picked Conclave. It must be the best movie of the year. And then watch it like, well, that wasn't the best movie of the year to me. Like, yeah, no shit. Like, it wasn't up to you.
It is interesting. I mean, I don't know. How often do you actually align with what the Academy picks?
I can't think of a time where.
Yeah.
I think there's maybe one year. I feel like there's one year where I was like, okay, that aligns with me, but not really.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. No, because it's hard, because I think films are deserving, but is it a film that's my favorite, if that makes sense? Something like Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, I think is a really great movie. But that one seems like it was more of, hey, these three movies all are really good. Let's reward how hard it was to pull that off.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, like, it's not really a merit-based award. Like,
no.
They spend money to campaign these and get the recognition. So it just kind of really depends on how much a studio is willing to pump into getting votes,
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because that's what, back in when it first started, it wasn't even that big a deal. It was literally how you campaigned, and they used to, blacklist people if they got out of line from the studio system, and it's just really fascinating where it is now, where it's all this glitz and glamour. And when you watch clips from when it first started, it's literally people just walking up and being given the award. There's no,
Yeah, but that's the other bummer thing is, like, they're canceling the music performances this year. So after last year where there was the amazing Barbie performance that, like, blew the audience away, this year they're like, we're not doing any of that. It's like, really? Like, that was one of the, like, you did some really cool stuff last year, and now you're just not going to, unless they just think, like, the music choices are so bad that they can't do anything with them.
Well, I didn't really even recognize any of the songs.
But, like, Wicked's in there, so you'd feel like they would want to, like, do a production of that somehow. I think what the other ones were.
So it's Like a Bird from Sing Sing. Never Too Late from the Elton John documentary.
I never heard of the Journey.
El Mal, which I'm guessing is Emilio Perez, and Mi Camino is also Emilio Perez.
So that is two songs nominated from it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the only cool thing is Conan O'Brien is hosting it. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, I guess Defying Gravity is not in the original song. Oh, I guess
it's not an original from a play. Song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the score is. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well.
Maybe because they wrote a new score for it.
Or enough of a new score to qualify, because Dune 2 didn't get nominated because it
you're was right. Disqualified. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Hmm. Anywho, that's the movie news of the week.
Yeah. I do think it'd be fun to have a watch party.
Yeah, for sure. What day is it? It's in March?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'll have to see if we can line that up.
I watched it by myself at the Bug while I was doing some other things, so it was pretty fun.
Yeah, see if we can line that up.
March 2nd.
Oh, it's coming up.
Actually, what we need to do is just go to the Dolby Theater. Or, like, we'll fly out there as a podcast. And
yeah, we'll just put in, the White House is giving podcasts press passes now. So why not freaking, the Academy Awards?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you can stand on like Hollywood Boulevard and probably like they probably have a big screen out in the mall there in front of the Dolby Theater that you can watch it from.
Yeah, they probably would. Yeah.
So.
Hey, we watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what did you watch this week?
Let's see. Are you going to talk about MacGruber?
Yeah, we can talk about MacGruber.
All right, I'll skip that for when you do it.
Or you can introduce it and we both can talk about it.
Okay, we both rewatched MacGruber.
Wow, I thought you'd be a little more excited about it.
I'm excited. It's just been an asshole of a day, Ryan.
But they laughed. what I loved, so I've always been a huge fan of this movie. My wife fucking hates it. I remember...
That's stupid. It came out,
I know. It's fucking a bullshit of a day. My wife, I took her to it, I don't know, when it came out, 2010? And I remember it was the first time I took her to a movie, because we were a little over 2 years together at this point, or a year and a half. And it was the first time I took her to a movie in Fort Collins where she's like, this is fucking garbage. She fucking hated it. And I remember because the movie theater up there was an AMC. And that was in the old days when you didn't buy reserved seats. And I remember we sat in the row that is on the floor where there's the divide from, the two or three rows in the front and then the rows behind you. And I remember she was just rolling her eyes and she was so fucking over it. And to this day, she hates movies like this one where it's just silly and it's kind of stupid, but it's really funny. She does not see the humor in these kind of films. That I love things like Top Secret and Hot Shots. That's the one thing where my wife and I will never see eye to eye.
That's dumb.
I know. Not, I don't get it. Because our screening of it was almost sold out. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we saw at the Alamo. And I think there was like a row's worth of people that it didn't sell. So. And like the crowd, I got the vibe that a bunch of people had never seen it before and they were cracking up. Like,
yeah, me too.
Like when he fucks the gravestone, like, like people just like did not see that coming.
Yeah. I watch it every once in a while, but I always get really into Val Kilmer's character because I think he is so brilliant in this movie.
Yeah.
Where he said, I know I had a. team of the best in the world, but I blew them up.
Oh, you did? Oh, we're like the same.
No, actually, I didn't do that because I'm not a fucking idiot.
I love his, like, just when he's chained to the rocket and MacGruber's like saying a bunch of stuff that like one ups him, and then he just goes, yeah, weak.
Yeah. Or this big, you know, reveal of him getting his hair cut is just so brilliant. And I love too, at the Alamo beforehand, they showed him on Tim and Eric, because that stuff is so bizarre.
Yeah.
Just good stuff.
Or when he's at like the poker stuff. Table and MacGruber's like, oh, what is that? Your mistress? Like, that's my daughter. And he's like, oh God.
Yeah. Be careful, because he's gonna rape you.
Yeah.
Or what he says, I hope you like being raped.
Yeah.
If you think he's so handsome, why don't you marry him?
Yeah. That's right. Go right now. Go to the chapel. Yeah.
He's such a like a douchebag and a piece of shit, but he's endearing.
He like tells that one gambler that he's bluffing. He's like loses everything. He's like, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Sorry. I don't understand why I have to dress up like you. Don't worry, we're going to be very close. Okay, you got me. We're 20 blocks away.
Oh, yeah. The part where like she's screaming in the coffee shop and like they're getting shot to death in the van. Like the audience is like cracking up.
Yep. Yeah, it's great that movie plays. I always love, too, the panther roar anytime there's an explosion or he does a flip.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just, and him like repeating the license plate numbers to himself occasionally, and then when what's his name finds the notebook of like scribblings of the number,
a horror movie type of music playing in it, and he's terrified. Fucking talking
to the colonel on the phone. He's like bashing the car's window in.
Wow, MacGruber, how did you know I was wearing a bulletproof vest? Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. You fucking asshole. Oh, shit. Anyways, that movie's brilliant. What else do you watch this week, Brad?
I gave Shivers a shot, which is like Cronenberg's first movie.
Yeah.
First, I guess, big movie, I guess. And that was a tough sit.
Was it?
Have you seen
it? I've never seen it, but it's getting a lot of releases lately.
Yeah, it's like even like a steelbook at Walmart. It's from 1975, and it's just like there's these like alien slugs, and they start to inhabit these people. And like there's this futuristic, like mono apartment thing, and they're just already there. Like you never see them drop from outer space or anything, and slime their way into the building. They're just already there. And there's like a doctor guy who is kind of on the trail of it, and he has a friend in the same profession that like he consults with about it. And then like there's like all these different people in the apartment, and they just like start going crazy, and it makes them want to bone each other. So it just kind of climaxes into
after they bone.
Yeah, like this doctor guy's like, and his nurse who's just naked sometimes because they had to have nudity in the shot.
Nice.
Them running around this apartment complex with all these like basically zombies chasing them. That is just like so slow, and like there's a like kind of a human sacrifice at the beginning. You're just like, what's going on? Where'd those characters go? Like why? Like a lot of times you're just like, what? And like the audio is not great in it. So it's just kind of a tough watch.
Did you see it in a theater?
Yeah, it was at the Alamo.
Huh.
It's part of their Terror Tuesday.
Oh,
lineup.
Gotcha.
So I checked that out. I also watched Nickel Boys, which we kind of previewed earlier in this episode.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Yeah, it's an interesting, like, I think it's a good film. It's different. It's basically about the. So there's this what is it? I want to say boarding school. It's like juvenile hall, but not a prison. It's just like, gosh, I should just look it up. Sorry.
I mean, I call it, you know, juvie.
A reform school. Okay.
Reform school. There we go.
Yeah. In, it's like the 1960s, in between, you know, like during the civil rights era. Right. So there's these two kids, that are in this reform school. We're following one of them. Like the whole movie is shot from the perspective of like, it's a POV thing. Like you're always kind of like in someone's eyes watching what's going on, but it's never the same person. So it kind of jumps back and forth. So like normally you'd watch like a two shot of two people talking to each other side by side. But in this, it's just like, it just flips to looking them straight on. And you know, when the conversation changes, it just flips to the other person's point of view. So I'd say like the most impressive part of the whole thing is the cinematography.
Yeah.
There's just like a lot of really beautiful shots in it, and everything is very like the camera just kind of floats around a little bit. But then the story itself is important because it's just like, it shows the oppression that these black teenagers were having at this school. Cause it was segregated. So there's like white reform kids there, but they were like being treated really well, while the black ones are being just like abused and beaten. The main kid tries to find a way out while all the other students are saying like, there's no way out of this situation. And it just kind of ends tragically. And for a long time in the movie, you think it jumps around through time. So like it starts very early on when he's like very young. And then, you slowly realize through like without any like narration or anything that like his dad leaves, his single mom raises him, and then he like tries to go to this science school, and then he doesn't have a car, so he just hitchhikes, and then he gets into a car that's been stolen. He hitchhikes with a guy who stole a car, so you know, who's also black, so obviously when he gets pulled over they both get in trouble, right?
Yeah.
And that's why he ends up in this school. But then, yeah, like right away, like they get taken down to the cellar where they're like, they're beaten and stuff. And
so you're saying it's a happy movie.
Yes. It's just a fun romp. But yeah, it jumps around in time. So while that's happening, it jumps to the future where you think it's him as an adult doing an investigation. Cause eventually this school called Nickel, by the way, that's why it's Nickel Boys. They find like a graveyard of just like unmarked bodies. And so he's trying to like help with the investigation and identify like who these people were and stuff. So it's a pretty powerful, it's also like close to 3 hours. So it's a pretty long one. And it does kind of like, because the camera is kind of so slow and there's like a lot of just B-roll of everything, like just beautiful B-roll stuff. Your mind kind of wanders a lot. So it probably could have been like a shorter, tighter movie, but I can see why it's Oscar nominated.
Right on. I mean, I'm still intrigued to see it.
Yeah. But it does like, it's not like a very passive movie. Like you really have to like focus on things and hang in there. Because like a lot of it, like it really doesn't explain to you what the movie is. Like it just kind of unfolds. So, like, there's a long stretch where I was like, "Where's this movie going?" Like, I don't know. Because I'd say like him just getting to the reform school takes like 45 minutes.
Oh wow!
So, yeah, and a lot of times you never see the character's face, so you're like not sure who is actually being like whose eyes are you looking through. So. Yeah.
So is it maybe a stream movie then?
Yeah, but like I said, it's so long that I don't know. Like you'd probably end up on your phone a lot.
In the theater. Because you have to focus.
Because you have to focus on it, yeah. I think at home, you'd probably watch it in two parts and take breaks. So, yeah. Yeah, I think that's it for me this week. What'd you watch? Oh, I've also been rewatching 24.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which, yeah, I've said before, how's that going? We should do a rewatch podcast of that.
Oh, I'm totally down. What? So, how far along are you?
I'm almost done.
Oh, no, shit.
But,
fucker.
Again,
you
I burned.
Tell me earlier.
Yeah, I burned through it. It really only takes a day to watch them. You just run them in the background and like don't 100% pay attention to everything. Then, yeah, it's easy to get through them. But the cool thing is that they're on Disney Plus right now, which also probably means Hulu, but they're in HD.
Oh,
so,
shit. Okay, time to release it.
Exactly. Like, where are the Blu-rays for this show? And granted, they took the 4-3, you know, early first four seasons and cropped them to make them HD. But still, it's like way more pristine than my DVDs are going to be.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if we did a podcast, I would rewatch it again right away.
Nice.
Because, yeah, it's just amazing to watch, like, how that show, because I've never really done, like, a full straight, like, 9-season straight through before.
Yeah.
The farthest I've gotten is, like, 3, and then, like, I'll get distracted and then, like, have to restart. But I'm on season 9 right now, and I just finished season 8, and, you know, I think it peaked in season 5 with the whole Charles Logan is the corrupt president thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I know you like season 6, but like it definitely felt like they wanted to have him play off of Donald Sutherland as his dad.
Yeah.
But I read an article where it said like Donald Sutherland didn't do it because he hadn't worked with his son yet, and he didn't want the first thing and possibly only thing to be a movie where he's trying to kill his son.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair.
That's why he didn't do it. But then, like, James Cromwell obviously did the role, and he was like, I don't really get this character. Like, he kills his one kid, Graham, like, really easily and for not, like, a great reason. And then, you know, lets Jack live a lot of times. It's like, he just felt like his character was, like, all over the place. And then, yeah, season 8, obviously, he, oh, shit, what was it? Oh, yeah. So, like, Renee Walker gets killed, right?
Yeah.
And I thought about it. And he's so upset about it that he, like, breaks all these laws and kind of, like, loses his mind and goes on this, like, killing spree, right? Granted, a lot of people he does kill are justified, but he also just kills, like, some police officers that are, like, doing their jobs in the process. But, like, he only, like, I thought about it. He only really knew Renee Walker for a day and a half in his life. Like, season 7 and then half of season 8, like he gets sent, like he on season 7 he has to go on the run, so they obviously didn't hang out after that, and then she gets in trouble because she abuses that like super connected, the guy who like ordered Charles Logan to do everything he did and the assassination of David Palmer, right? So yeah. She got in trouble for like going over the law in interrogating him. So she hasn't been around. It's like she's been fired from the FBI. So it's just like, you know, in season 8, like he just wants to get on a plane and go spend time with his daughter and his granddaughter, right? But the death of Renee Walker, like, is enough to like forget all that. I'm going to go on this killing spree. Like, just doesn't add up.
Hey, like, don't cross him, man. Don't cross him.
But he is a huge badass in 8 and 9, like almost like he kind of was before, but the action sequences in those two seasons are like really Jason Bourne style. Like he's just,
yeah, I haven't watched it in a while.
I'm guessing his character is like 50 years old and he's like, just, yeah, like a ninja. It's great.
Hell
but,
yeah.
But yeah, like if we can get our shit together on posting regular episodes, we should totally do a side podcast of the Jack Bauer Power Hour. And just like,
hell yeah,
episode by episode recap those.
That'd be fun.
So yeah, what'd you watch?
I watched a couple things. I watched a movie called Torso. Sometimes I have a bad habit of dropping my kid off at school and I let my wife sleep at home because she works the overnights. So I'll go to like Barnes and Noble or something and get a tea and just meander around. Well, last week, the Arrow.
Ooh, a tea. Are you British?
Yes. And I just drink it hot with some fucking scones or whatever they do. But Arrow Video were 50% off last week. So I got this one called Torso, which is from 1973. So a really early kind of slasher movie. And it's Italian. And it's actually pretty good. It's pretty violent.
It was Blank of the Sea last week.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty violent. And it's about these young ladies who are in, I guess, some sort of university. And they're being stalked by this man who's killing the kids at the university, not just the women, but also the men. And so they decide they're going to go to this one of their classmates' uncle's cabin, even though it's not a cabin in, you know, Italy. It's basically a vacation home. I don't know what you'd call it. And the guy follows him there, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I had a lot of fun watching it. The Arrow release is really sweet. It has three different cuts of the film. Because, you know, back then for the Italian films, they'd film it all in Italian, and then they'd film the scenes again and they would speak English. And so you can watch both versions of it. I watched the Italian one because it was 5 minutes longer. So that means, you know, there's more violence and stuff. So, yeah, I would check it out if, you know, you want to get a half off Blu-ray. And that's normally, you know, $45. It's cool. And there's lots of cool special features on it. There's like three or four interviews, and they are each 25, 30 minutes long. So really cool. It talks to the director and the writer, and it's just a really well done Blu-ray. I finally got around to watching the special features on The Gift, which is a Sam Raimi movie from 2000, just before he did Spider-Man. And I've been longing for this one to be on Blu-ray for so long. And Shout finally put it out on a 4K. And not only that, they added tons of bonus features to it. There's a whole disc of just bonus features. And it has three interviews with people who made it. And they had, I didn't know this about Sam Raimi. He, every movie, and I went back and I checked it, he has two editors. And he has two people. Yeah, he has two people edit the film. And he watches both versions and he puts them together how they're edited by these certain individuals. And in The Gift, he actually only used maybe 10% of one guy's edit, but he thought the 10% guy did a lot better of editing establishing shots of the, you know, the swamp and of the town. And the other editor was a lot better with the dialogue. So it's kind of interesting. And the movie's great. It's with Cate Blanchett and Keanu Reeves. And she's someone who can read cards. And there's a murder in the town. And she is helping the police solve it. It's really, really good if you've never seen The Gift. And the last thing I watched is... You saw a Oscar-worthy film about a reform school. I watched Reform School Girls, Vinegar Syndrome, which I got – I had to have gotten it like 2 years ago. I remember I got it at Twist and Shout because it was in their used section and it had a really cool slipcover. Again, not knowing what it was, the slipcover sells it like they're punk rock girls. And I was thinking maybe there, you know, there'd be cool punk rock music in it. And I don't know what I was expecting. But it turns out it's a women in prison movie. And there's 30 to 40 year old women playing 18 year old women in it. And you were talking about random nudity and shivers. This one is literally, they go into the reform school. And when the big bad warden or nurse lady's walking them into where they're staying,
there's just a bunch of women without tops on for no reason. And all the girls are running around in bra and panties for no reason. And then the movie will randomly cut to them in the shower just to show nudity. But I will say the movie is pretty fun. It's really kind of insane. And it definitely fits the mold of a Vinegar Syndrome film, or one that they would release, if that makes sense. You know, it's kind of sleazy. There's violence in it. And the soundtrack is full of rock and roll. So it's kind of a fun movie. Not great, but fun. I feel like I say that all the time with Vinegar Syndrome releases, where I have fun watching the movie, and their Blu-rays they put together are awesome.
Oh, yeah. They've definitely put a lot of good work into them.
They do. And
for
so,
movies that may not deserve it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been on a roll with them lately. Because I've gotten all these ones, and then with the Vinegar Syndrome Denver having a pop-up every once in a while, I've been running and getting like one movie from them just to see, and it's all based on the cover. I don't even read the back of – it's kind of a fun thing I've been doing. I don't even read the description on the back. I literally pick it based on the slip cover. Sometimes you get weird things, and other times it's fun, but they're all well produced and they all have fun stuff on it. Yeah, that's what I watched this week.
There's something else I watched that had was produced by Sam Raimi. This I was like shocked. Oh yeah, I said it last week for Night Call. Yeah.
Hmm. Huh.
Well, it had the Evil Dead footage in it. Never mind.
Yeah.
Did I talk about The Brutalist in Grand Theft Hamlet last week?
No.
Oh, okay. I guess I have two more. So The Brutalist, also an Oscar-nominated film, also requires a lot of your time because it's like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
And has an intermission in it, like a 15-minute intermission. It's like, I don't know, like one of those great American films. It's just about a guy who like designs stuff, but it's also like the American experience of like coming from nothing and then like trying to achieve something great. And also mm-hmm. like the weird, awful side of that success. But it's just like a movie where like I started watching it and you just kind of settle in and go with it. And you don't really like notice that it's like taking a ton of your time. That makes sense. Like,
yeah,
everything you're watching is so just like grand and. It's weird to think that, too, like, it's directed by the kid in season 5 of 24, Brady Corbett. Remember, like, family he lives with when he's, like, hiding out from the Chinese, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the kid gets taken hostage at the airport.
Yeah.
Like, that guy directed this huge movie.
Oh, wow.
All these years later. But yeah, it's just like this big cinematic like event that's interesting to watch. And sometimes parts of it are just like inserts of stock footage from like the 30s and 40s, I guess, or like the 40s, I guess, of like Philadelphia and stuff around it being built, you know?
Yeah.
I just thought it was cool. I don't know if it's something I would own or watch again like right away. But, like, it was a cool experience. And then Grand Theft Hamlet was the Grand Theft Auto movie.
Yeah.
Which so these British people during the pandemic were like stuck at home, and they're actors, so like they really had nothing going on, so they played Grand Theft Auto online a lot. And then they decided, hey, do you think they found like this outdoor amphitheater in like whatever the freaking city is called there, and like they're like, hey, do you think we could actually put on a play here of Hamlet? And so they start recruiting all these other players to try to do this performance of Hamlet, like the stage version of Hamlet in the game. And it's, eventually they break away from like trying to do on the stage in the game to like directing it like a movie. So they're like, they're in different locations just trying to do like these other things, all while trying to accomplish that while random people are just coming by and killing them, you know? And like they just kind of build like this cool little community. And like I've been reading things online, and some of it seems like a little more staged than it should be, like to like try to kind of drive this narrative of like, you met a bunch of cool people and, you know, form this community. So they're like, there's a couple scenes where, they really like bust out the acting, that like it, but it's not part of the Hamlet play, you know?
Yeah.
So I can see where that, I could see where that might be a, like a thing, but I thought it was just an interesting experiment because I've got, you know, when we were growing up, I always wanted to like make movies out of the games we were playing like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And they did it. So that was cool.
Nice.
So yeah.
Cool. Next week we're seeing Companion. So that should be fun. And Brad, as you were talking, and since you've already burned through 24, we talked about it a while ago. We really should do a Ninja Turtles watch. where we go episode by episode.
Like the cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh wow. That's a lot of episodes.
Is it more than 9 seasons of 24 though?
Well, I guess. Well, yeah, they're also half hour. So
yeah, and I mean, I'm talking about the original one because that's the only set I have. Yeah. So
that'd be cool. Like I was had like I was gonna do like a. I even made like the album art for like a. I called it Teenage Minute Ninja Turtles, where I was gonna go minute by minute and like recap the original movie. But yeah, if you want to do the Turtles cartoon, I mean, it gets rough in later seasons.
It's okay. I mean, but that's why it's fun, right?
I'd be down for that.
Sweet.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So, I'll get some artwork together or something.
Yeah, do it. So next week, Companion, and thanks for listening. We'll see you at the movies.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot at a real nerd. Look at all the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!